You know, we are now live. Welcome, everybody, to Big Footy Tiger Cast Trade Week Show 2.0. Finally, something's starting to happen. Still not all of our trades over the line, but we're starting to see some motion. We're starting to see some ripple effects from other trades. And more importantly, we're starting to see just how ridiculous some of the opposition supporter bases are out there and how some of these things work. But EJ, welcome back, mate. Good little display picture there. I like it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's got some significance to some of tonight's discussion, so it should be a bit of fun.
Deal or no deal. And Grok, how are you, mate? What's going on? Welcome. Yeah,
good to be back, fellas. Just tired of over this whole trade week that's now too long. I'm over it.
Yeah, we spoke about this last week on the show, and I my stance hasn't really changed because it kind of validated it, if nothing else, that it just shave it down to 3 or 4 days. There's no need having that first week. It's just clubs bullshitting one another. Not really keen for how long it goes for.
Yeah, I mean, they can still have their week of talking absolute dribble because they're going to do it anyway. But how good would 4 days of absolute chaos trading be, or three just days carnage. Of carnage, right? We get dribble, 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 dribble. They're still going to talk about it in the lead up to the physical trade period anyway.
Yeah, exactly right.
So just shorten it.
All it does is give people like Adam Cooney scope to come up with all these stupid mega trades that that are just never going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it like from last year with the Soldo trade. We haggled and haggled and haggled for Port for an extra pick up until the last day of the trade period and didn't even use it when it should have been one of the first deals done. It's 10 days saying we want an extra pick that we didn't even use. Like that's where the system is broken.
That's right. We didn't use it. That's interesting. Cameron, you beg to differ on the topic. But, I mean, I suppose these discussions are already being had behind closed doors. Like, it's not like the clubs haven't just all of a sudden gone, oh, shit, he wants to change club, let's get together. Like, the clubs have known about this stuff for so far out that it just drags on and on. And there's honestly a small part of me, and I suppose the Wednesday deadline also confirms it, that's maybe AFL-driven to drag it out for theatre. Like, on the last day, you can't see trades until 4 o'clock or something like that. It's like, why? Just get shit done.
No, really?
Yeah, I know.
Theatre? What, you mean the fact that it's televised live on Fox?
Yeah.
Look. I can see what Cameron's saying, but the thing is you don't actually have to have the trade period that long because you're still going to get the toing and froing anyway.
Yeah, like allow the discussions to be open. Once the grand final's done, talks can then commence and then have all your lead up until next week and then that's all where you sign them all off.
I'm of the opinion as soon as a player nominates clubs, that's when discussions should be able to be opened.
Yeah, and that's why I really like, and I think I've said this before, that's why I really like how Neil Bullen, Melbourne and Adelaide went about that move. It was very open, very transparent. He still played the last couple of games. There was no bullshit going on, and then they just got the deal done and, you know, away they went. It was very, very professional from all parts involved. But, you know, before we get into the trade talk stuff, firstly, I think we need to acknowledge and give a big congratulations to Noah Bolter, who has signed on for 7 years, which is very, very good news, much to Kane Corn's disgust. Although if he was wearing a Port jumper, he'd be given thumbs up and pats on the back. So, Noah Bolter, we are very, very glad to have you on board. We still don't know if it's a forward version of Noah Bolter or a defence version of Noah Bolter, but I'm glad he's with us nonetheless.
Yeah, I agree. And for Kane Corns to come out and say, you know, it's too long, they should have waited until the end of next year for him to be a free agent, get pick two. One, there's no guarantee that pick two is going to be any good. We know what we've got with Noah Bolter. And two, if Bolter leaves us, we're screwed down back anyway. Like, we need he's our biggest pillar down back right now. So,
the other thing is, with the herbs and spices from the AFL, who knows if we get pick two anyway?
Absolutely. So, I think Corns has just looked at the deal and gone, okay, yeah, they probably could have gotten pick two for him next year. But I don't think he's actually looked at our list profile right now. We cannot. Bolter is one of the players that we could not afford to lose for virtually nothing.
And I know there's a few people who may be a little bit iffy on 7-year deals. As weird as this sounds, I kind of feel like 7 is now the new 5. Like just with the increase in salary cap and stuff like that, it's happening more and more. I don't think it's too offensive of someone of his age. The obvious risk involved is the injury front for any player, not just Bolter, but I'm sure there would be provisions built into contracts like that where clubs don't get stiff too badly. But I for one, am pumped to have him locked in because, yeah, he's the future of the club, and he's one of those players you can sort of help build a segment of the ground around. And look, I know the debate about forward and back will go on for years and years, but I'm still not sold. I know we've seen him do good stuff in defence, EJ, but my thinking is we also haven't seen him play in a fully functioning team in the forward line either. So we maybe don't actually know the potential there. Like he has shown glimpses when we've been half rat power. Maybe, I don't know. We need two of him. That's the answer, but we can't do that.
Just leave him down back, please. Just leave him down back. I'm in a good mood. I reckon he's a head. Look, the only reason he looks half decent up forward is because he's so athletic. He's a headless chook up forward. You know, he gets by on freakish ability. He doesn't. It's better when he's being led to the ball. And then at the last minute, he can make his decision and intercept and do this, do that. And he's big enough body that he's, you know, matched up really well on guys as big as Hawkins, but can run off guys like McKay. You just leave him down back, please. Please. Yeah. Adam, I implore you, Adam.
I think if anyone goes forward, I think it's probably Gibkiss coming back from his injuries. I think that's probably the best bet to get him back into senior football. But I agree with some of the comments in chat about the 7-year deal. One, as someone said, it gives us more bargaining power, similar to Rioli and Bolton, if you were to request a trade. And it starves off the Tassie years when they come in and start wanting, you know, these players. It's long-term planning. If he wants to leave, okay, yeah, he can go in a couple of years, but you're going to pay for him.
Did you know that, Grop? Did you know that if you're in contract, that you can actually ask for a higher price for the player?
Contracts are worth nothing these days.
who would have thought? Okay, well, on to the trade stuff. We'll talk about the trade that we have actually executed first. We received Brisbane's first round pick, currently pick number 20, and Brisbane received from us pick 32, 42, and picks 43 and 45. And look, I know, oddly, I find anyway, that this really split and divided a lot of Richmond people. Some saying we gave up far too much, some saying comfortable with it. I'm personally comfortable with it because I feel like pick number 20, there was a few bids, active bids from other clubs in there to try and get that pick. Lions obviously need the points. So the point value side of things doesn't actually matter to us. So whether we've given them an extra 700 points to me is completely irrelevant because we just wanted pick number 20. They needed the points for their bids. But I'm okay because I don't think we're going to use that pick 43 and 45 will end up being somewhere in the 50s by the time it's all said and done. And after we've rolled out pick 1, 6, 10, 11, whatever else we're going to get, I don't think we're going to be too phased about not having 43 and 45 personally.
Yeah, 100%. I think people are looking at the picks that we had that we traded out rather than looking at the picks that we're going to be trading in with Bolton and Rio and everything. And once that happens, those picks in the mid and late 30s to 40s, we were never going to use. So we may as well get in a pick that we would actually use where there's still some decent talent around rather than, you know, those late picks that another club could use. Like, I'm perfectly fine with it.
I suppose, EJ, some people's argument was that maybe with, say, 43 and 45 as an example, could they have been used to facilitate other trades during the week as the week wore on?
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, what's more important, the other trades later on or a pick in the first round? You know, we're getting as many as we can early. If we burn later picks to do it, that's fine. These pick swaps where people pay overs to move up the draft board and help out teams that want points for academy picks, they pay overs every year. It always happens. I don't know why we're upset about it. Was it maybe a little bit too much? Maybe, but that goes to back to what you said, is there were multiple clubs interested in the pick, so we had to give a little bit extra to get the pick. And I'm cool with it. I reckon it's great move.
Yeah, and I think to Grok's point, once we see all the final picks we get slotted in front of those numbers, it won't look as bad as what it looks now. Like, it looks bad now because there's a huge gap between, you know, our first round and then the next picks. But once we slot in all these other in-between ones, it'll look fine and balance itself out.
And that's why the club hasn't announced any signings or delistings yet, because they're waiting to see how many picks we actually take to the draft before they announce how many players that they're going to chop.
Yeah, there's still a few. The one that still surprises me is Camden McIntosh. I don't know. I just would have thought he maybe would have had something offered by now, just because he's a known quantity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's the wait and see. He's been told if we don't have enough picks that he will be offered a contract. But it's a wait and see.
I don't know. Part of me feels like that's a shit way to treat him after the service he's given. Like, give him some a yes or a no so he can plan his life and do what he's got to do.
Okay, CJR's just put there. Can one of you guys please explain why Richmond swapped 42, 43 or 45 instead of picks 51, 61, 70? Just what we were saying, there were multiple clubs interested in the pick. So someone was going to pay the premium to get the pick. We had to use the earlier picks to jump the queue in front of other teams that were interested in the pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like I personally don't think pick 20 will be in our hands by the time the trade period's done. I think this is at a higher power play than just us using pick 20. I reckon it's going to be bundled up somewhere along the line, or maybe that's what the hope was. But yeah, unfortunately, when there's quite a few other clubs lining up to get it and they're offering pretty good picks, you got to one up them, don't you?
It's because of the Ashcroft bid. If he's bid in the top three, which you probably will be, I reckon North are probably a chance to bid on him at pick two. Without those picks, if it had been another club, they wouldn't have had enough points. They probably would have gone into deficit next year. And I believe they've got an academy or something again next year as well, or a father-son or something. So that there's no way in hell that they would have taken any deal that put them into a deficit point advantage next year where they lose their first rounder. So they would have gone to all the clubs and said, okay, who can give us the most points? And it was us.
And that's all they cared about was points. And we just cared about getting a better pick. Okay, so on to the other picks or the other players, picks, trades, the whole schmozzle that's going on. We'll start with the Baker one first. Now, I'm banking on we've got some WA viewer spikes tonight because there's been a lot of interactions on the Twitter, on the X, whatever you want to call it. For those who've been on socials, and I'm happy to be said I've got Richmond goggles on for this, but I really think West Coast supporters are very much underselling the impact Liam Baker could have on their football club. When they're sort of listing players and they're putting him dead last as not important, not relevant, I think they've got that bang wrong. But anyway, what West Coast Eagles supporters are complaining about is that we shouldn't be asking for a first rounder and he's not worth it. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We didn't ask for the first rounder. Your club initiated that with Baker as part of the bargaining with him to get him across the line that we will give Richmond a first rounder and look after them accordingly if you pick us as your club. Yes, okay, no worries, says Baker. So now that's on you guys to find the first round. That's not us asking for it. You offered it as part of your bargaining to get him across the line, which is fair enough. So yeah, I think the ball's in your court with that one, West Coast. And the bottom line is West Coast is still actively chasing the first round pick. So any West Coast fans out there, if you don't think your club agreed to a first round pick, have an actual look at what they're trying to do. They're trying to still get a first round pick in. So that to me suggests they did do that. Otherwise, they would not be trying to actively source a pick to facilitate the trade.
Patrick Miller's there. I'm in WA. They don't want him unless a second rounder. Well, Fremantle have offered all three first-round picks for the package of both, so that puts the pressure back on the West Coast, whether they like it or not.
And this is what I mean by I think they're under West Coast supporters are selling him short, pardon the pun. Because it's their supporters that don't want him for a first rounder, they want a second rounder. But what
I wish it was short instead of Baker.
Yeah. What I find interesting though, Grok, is maybe what West Coast fans are forgetting is they've actually got two people who were former Richmond employees who were very close to Baker in their ranks now. One being their head coach, who also coached him with us,
a recruiter,
who have very, very good knowledge of Liam Baker and what his values and what he's worth to the club is, and they deem it as a first-round pick. So I dare say they should maybe lean on the people at their own club with the expertise and the inside knowledge of Baker and roll with it.
100%. Firstly, the second round call is absolute bullshit because if that happens, the pick's going to blow out to about pick 30 with all the academy bids and everything else, father sons. It's going to be pick 30 plus, which is absolute no for Baker. But yeah, I agree. They've got McWalter there, who spent, you know, half a decade with Bolton, with Baker, seeing what he does. You've got Matt Clark there, who was there with him, recruited him over. Like, it's ridiculous to think that they don't trust the judgment of their club. Obviously, they're new, and living in WA, it's very parochial, very insular, very much a boys' club of we don't trust the outsiders sort of thing. So having two Victorians come over into the club, again, it's very much a, okay, you have to prove to us that you fit and belong. So, yeah, I definitely think Baker will go. And I think, again, it depends on the Carlton trade. If Carlton end up getting that pick 3 for the 11, the 10 and 14 or whatever it is right now, we'll probably get 14 out of West Coast.
And what about you, EJ? Do you think the deal for Baker will get done to West Coast or to Fremantle? And are Fremantle just playing funny buggers to make West Coast pay up more, to make themselves look like the good guy for the Bolton deal?
No, they've always had interest in both of them.
Genuine interest, yeah.
I think he'll end up at West Coast because that's where he wants to go. So, you know, as good as it would be to get 10, 11, and 18, that's a fallback position. It's a last resort. I think West Coast will get it done.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, Nathan, we actually were asking ourselves this exact same question off air before we started. Nathan's saying, I don't see why West Coast would split their pick 3 with Carlton picks and then give us 14 and keep 12, and we can give them Baker and picks 10 or 11 back and they have the better pick. We said exactly that off air before we jumped on. So I think it was EJ that mentioned it, that even in that scenario, we've still got the better hand for West Coast. So why would they not look at it? Or more importantly, why wouldn't Blair look at it?
Yeah, and this is where, as I mentioned, it should be a three-way trade between Richmond, West Coast, and Freo for Bolter, Baker, for Bolton, Baker, and everything. They can sort out the picks. Obviously, Freo have 10 that can go to West Coast with Baker. We get 3 and whatever for Bolton, and Bolton goes to Freo.
Yeah, it's a little bit to play out in that one. I think the deal will get done. I don't think we will end up with any of these players back at our club. I wouldn't mind having some of them back, but I do think they'll ultimately all get done.
I mean, they've all said that they'll stay if a suitable trade can't be found. But at the same time, how hard are we pushing to get what we want and not considering their interests either? It's like there's got to be a bit of a fine line between that.
Yeah. No, I think there does have to be a fine line. But you know what? Because of the way they've handled it and the way we've handled it, I think they'd be welcome back with open arms if it did come to that. And that's the beauty of them not holding us to ransom while being in contract like some other players have done in the past. I think we've been very fortunate that I suppose it's probably on the back of the success we've had, they felt a bit more obliged to make sure we get looked after because we, you know, got them the success that they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at Richmond's trading history over the last 8 years, you know, we've been very kind to other clubs and to our players. You know, Butler went for a pick in the 50s or 60s. Stengel went for pick 68. You know, players have gone really cheap. So I don't know why all of a sudden people are upset that we're standing firm on two players who are contracted. It boggles the mind that they can sit there and have a crack at Richmond, who have been really good. And back to that point swap before, yes, we probably paid a bit much. We probably paid more than, you know, what other clubs do. But also what it does is that strengthens the relationship between Brisbane and Richmond. You get a reputation for being a good club to deal with. And we have the reputation. And West Coast and with the Baker thing, it's that one is actually all pretty good. It's all pretty amicable. There's no dramas there. We don't have the reputation of Essendon / Dodoro. We don't have the reputation of Geelong of being utter bastards. We've got a good reputation, so that's why I'm confident that everything will get done.
And what I find as equally amusing is that if it was the other way around, if they were the ones losing contracted plays, they'd all be screaming bloody murder that they hold clubs to ransom and get the best pick possible, which is all we're doing as well. Everyone just wants what's best for their own club.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, yeah, we lost Baker, we lost Butler and everything for cheap picks, but the difference is Butler and the other players, you know, Markov, whoever, who've left, they're all fringe players. They probably were best 25, maybe best 30. Yeah. Baker, Bolton and Rioli, they're in the top 12, if not top 10 at the club, all three of them.
So, well, they're in the top five this year.
Yeah. But yeah, you're not going to give away them cheaply.
Yep. Yep. I think what was it with Baker's like top five the last 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Bolton's one of only three players that's had 400 disposals and kicked 40 goals in the season. Yep. And one of only three players that's had 500 and kicked 30. The other one being Isaac Heaney and whatever. Mm. What, they're premium players. You've got to pay a premium price.
That's it. And like, I was having a pretty good discussion with a Fremantle supporter on X today about it. He agrees the deal will get done. He reckons it should be obviously 10 and 18, not 10 and 11. He's like, you know, he feels they could make finals next year without Bolton. Maybe they could, but I'm like, how happy would you have been this year had you made it? Because he'd probably add 35 to 40 plus goals to your total, plus whatever other assists and stuff he gets for you as well. So it's like, how much is that worth?
Yeah. But, I think Freo were very unlucky with injuries late in the season to keep us.
Yeah, they were.
They probably would have been bottom half of the eight.
Yeah, no, they definitely were. Dan Rioli, EJ.
No, perfect.
Was yours on Dan as well?
No, it's all good.
You go.
No, I was going to talk about something else. So let's do Dan Rioli. Let's go.
All right, we'll do Dan Rioli. I'll read from John Ralph's tweet. Now, obviously, we'll take this just as what it is. The Dan Rioli deal looks like Richmond gets 6 and 23, but eventually hands back a pick in the 30s. The Suns 23 would be swallowed up by the Lombard bid. So Suns only need the points, not the actual pick. So look, I know a lot of us were obviously very much hoping for 6 and 13 off the bat. A lot of us probably also knew that was a tad far-fetched, but you got to shoot for the stars sometimes. But to still, if 6 and 23 is the final deal and that's what we've extracted from him, I still think that's a very, very good outcome. And that is going to wind up Damien Barrett. It's going to wind up Kane Corns. It's going to wind up everybody who, for some reason, can't get their tiny minds around that he's a contracted player and he was headhunted by the Gold Coast and pick 6 is what they've got. So
can we just give a bit of respect to Cam Hicks, please? He's putting aside John Ralph's tweet or mine. He was about 20 minutes before John Ralph was doing that week. he was before John Ralph. I can absolutely guarantee that.
He was. But are we comfortable with 6 and 23, gents, and everyone else in chat? Is everyone happy with that? I can't imagine people wouldn't be unhappy with that. I'd be shocked.
Yeah. 6 and 23 was what I was expecting. Obviously, you always ask high and then settle, and that's exactly what we've done. We've asked for 6 and 13 and been told no, and we've really put a thing on 6 and 13. But ultimately, I think 6 and 23 is what we've had our eye on, but it's like, may as well ask for the 6 and 13 and see what we get told. Because let's be fair.
Just to clarify quickly, the pick 30 part, we would have to actually manufacture and generate that pick 30 somewhere along the line to give back to them. I should have added in.
But like, 6 and 13, you never know with Gold Coast trading history. Like, they haven't really been the hardest to deal with and been a bit of a pushover with some of the outcomes that they've traded. So, yeah, 6 and 23 is about right.
Yeah.
EJ, you happy with 6 and 23?
Yeah, and I think we're going to have to I was just trying to find the updated draft board. Freo have got about pick 30, haven't they? Or some up somewhere in the early 30s. So this is where I think to get 10 and 11 out of Freo, if we were to give Bolton and say that pick 20 or that pick 24 or whatever, or the pick 23, or the pick 23 that we get, for 10, 11, and, you know, the 30, and we can give the 30 to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, Freo have 30.
Mm. Yeah, okay, it was 30, right? So if we give one of those mid to low 20s picks with to Freo, that might get us that 11 instead of 18. Where do we sit on the 10-11 versus 10-18?
So you're proposing EJ Bolton and pick 20 for picks 10, 11, and 30.
Yes.
I mean, from a Richmond perspective, I think we would do it, but I suppose, would that be fair for Fremantle? I mean, they're still getting a pick in the 20s as well. Yeah. So they got a 10 pick upgrade.
Yeah, and they obviously keep 18 as well.
Yeah. Or do I think that's not too bad.
Or do we say keep 11 and we go 10, 18 or 11, 18 and then they throw in 30?
Yeah, but we want 10 and 11 if we can get it, don't we?
Yeah.
You would be prepared to give up one of those 20s picks to get 11 out of the deal, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah. To get 11, yeah. I think you would for sure. Interesting.
Oh, there we go. David's saying we're using those 20s for next year.
I think to get that pick in the 30, they're going to have to use one of them to extract that pick 30 from somewhere. If that one from John Ralph plays out how it says. Now, where was Reese's comment? Where did I see it? Oh, here we go. This is the part that probably actually bothers me the most before we get to the Bolton one. Are these trades getting done tomorrow in the final 10 minutes? Now, I was really hoping that we got the Rioli one done today because I know there's still another day left after tomorrow, but the last thing we want to do is to rock into Wednesday with none of these deals being done and having to go through the whole day with no certainty, because I just feel like it'll be an absolute cluster with all these late submissions for trades. You would rather get one or two of these done tomorrow, I reckon. Has anyone got any intel or vibe about is something going to get done tomorrow? Surely the Rioli one drops first.
I thought the Rioli one. I heard from two separate people that the 6 and 23 was a go before John Ralph released it, and one of them said, one of them said it's going to be later, and one of them said it might happen today. So. Hopefully Rioli's tomorrow. It would be good if Rioli was tomorrow.
Yeah, but if Gold Coast are wanting a pick back in the 30s, we still need to deal with another club to get that back. So I think that's what's holding it up. There's a few deals in the pipeline where clubs are sort of holding out, like the Carlton West Coast trade, if that's even real, with the pick 14, which if that's the case, that's going to be involved in the Baker deal, which could potentially unlock, you know, a few others knowing where picks are landing. So, again, it's not just us, but it's others that need to deal for us to know exactly where picks land with clubs before they pay the big guns, I think.
So wheeling back to the Bolton deal, Ralphie has reported that we're still digging our heels in on 10 and 11 and Freo was still pretty steadfast on 10 and 18. And maybe a third party has to come in. Maybe getting all these other... I think some of the theories are that by us getting all these other early draft picks, we can say, well, we've got a heap of early draft picks. We don't necessarily need yours. So if you're not going to offer it up, sorry, we'll just move on. But I don't think we'll take that stance personally. I think we will push to get the deal done. But if push comes to shove, everybody in chat and EJ and Grok, is 10 and 18 acceptable for Bolton? I'm probably a bit more reluctant on that one than I am the Rioli one.
I think it's interesting because on pure talent and output and ability to break a game open, 10 and 11 is more than fair for Bolton. But Bolton's consistency and his ability to go missing, that's where the gulf between Bolton, given that he's halfway through his career now, the gap
I nearly threw up in my mouth. Greg just said, oh, if we get 10, 11, should we trade it for 7? Absolutely not.
No.
10 and 11 together is worth roughly the same as pick 2. There's no way. Blair should be fired on the spot if he swaps 10 and 11 for 7. That's no way.
Yeah. I think that Bolton's inconsistency is what's costing him from giving us 10 and 11, because the gap between his best and his worst is massive. And if you're giving up two first rounders, especially high first round, mid first rounders for him, clubs are going to want a little bit of insurance, which is probably why Freo will be wanting a pick back if they get, if they give us 10 and 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, the other thing that happens that doesn't directly involve us, but it impacts us, is Carlton making a play to get pick three from West Coast, which could throw a bit of a spanner in the works with our selection process. Because I think we were maybe hoping to try and get that, although I keep reading these different reports that we might try and get pick two from the Kangaroos, but I'm not really sure how that works. But Cal Twomey went with Carlton still coming hard for West Coast pick three using picks 12 and 14, with pick 14 being proposed to be sent on to Richmond for Liam Baker. Now, like we sort of discussed before, that we would probably still have the better currency to get pick three if that's what West Coast wanted to do. But that part aside, how do we feel about Carlton trying to obtain pick three? And are we worried that it's going to implicate who we're trying to select at all?
As I posted in the chat just before we went live, Carlton are trying to get in because there's a chance that one of Layla or Foss end up at three, and Carlton really want one or the other. From what I'm hearing, pick two for North is looking like Langford or Taru. So yeah, I know North are really bullish on him, and they don't really want to give him up. So North, Carlton are trying to get in for three as they want O'Sullivan. If the news are that we're taking Layla at one, which I'm hearing that's looking more and more likely. They want to get in ahead so they can take they can take Foss.
Is it moving to Lawler at one because we don't have pick three?
I think it's because we see Layla as the dynamic that we're missing, especially having Dusty retire and Bolton leaving. Is we need that X factor type midfielder who can go forward and hit the scoreboard. Because that's the type of player that we're losing now, especially with Bolton going, Dusty retiring. I think we're settling on that because he gives us the midfield that we have a different dynamic right now. And he's got that sort of breakaway, the strength and the ability in clearances. So Layla is the one that we identify as probably got the most upside and potential damage long term.
So are you saying that our draft priorities change? Because it's, I suppose, for one period of time it was Jager Smith, and then it's changed to Foss for quite some time. Are we now saying that Layla's now the one? And if that happens, is there going to be deep regret we didn't take Foss?
I'm hearing that Layla has edged in front of us for pick one.
There's a name that you brought up for North. He's come from the clouds as far as being in conversation for the top five.
Taru.
Yeah, the Viking. What's got that's come out of?
Like he's one of my favourites in the draft. Like if we could get him, I would love it. But he's athletically very similar profile athletically to Bolter. He's nowhere near as tall and doesn't have the kicking that Bolter does, but yeah, just some of the things that he can do, like athletically, he's a freak. He can play midfield, can play as a backman, like he's a gun.
So a few people have asked, would we consider doing some type of trade involving pick six to get to pick two to be able to secure both? Like are Foz and Layla that vital to a rebuild, for example, that it would be worth trying to do that?
Yeah, I definitely would. With Layla, you're getting that high impact type player, and with Foss, you're getting that consistent, 20, 25 disposals, clean, can hit the scoreboard, but he's not going to break a game apart like what a Layla could do. I definitely think they're the two that will complement. Yeah, as Reece said, they're the next Koch and Dusty sort of pairing. They complement each other very, very well.
What are your thoughts, EJ? What do you think?
I'm on the other page on the draft calculator trying to work out how we get pick two.
For me, that talk kind of just popped up randomly today. So I'm not even sure. Are North Melbourne willing to entertain offers for pick two? Like, I'm not kind of sure
Is that potentially be why we're insisting on 10 and 11?
to bundle it up to give.
Yeah, for two, because I know North Melbourne were also keen on Luke Traynor, who has slipped down the boards as well because of his concussion history. I know that they were really high on him until that came out. So Traynor's probably going to be there at 10 and 11. You're looking at someone, again, it could be someone like a Taj Houghton or something who would help them as well. So 10 and 11, I definitely think North would do for two.
Right. So, well, you reckon they do 10 and 11 for two?
I reckon they probably would.
David, can you elaborate on that, David? He reckons we will get North's number two before trade night. I'm keen to hear more here, David. I'm keen to hear more.
Okay, so I've just been jumping onto the calculator. So 10 and 11 is worth pick two. 6 and 11 is worth pick one, okay. Right? Now we are 6 and 14 works, but we don't have 14 at the moment. 6 and 14 works as well. There are a few machinations. We can trade up without getting pick six, but that depends on North being happy with, as Grock was just saying, for them being able to get the players they want at 10 or 11.
Yeah.
If they think that's possible, it's possible. And we might have to give up 10 or 11 and a future second or something like that.
Yeah.
So David's saying that he feels we will end up with 14, I'm guessing, for Baker. And then we're packaging 6 and 14 to get two, to get one and two. So we'd have 1, 2, 10, 11, or 10 and 18, whatever you want, whichever way it goes.
I'd rather personally give up 10 and 11 for two than 6 and 14, because six, you're looking at someone potentially like a Murphy Reid or a Langford if he slides potentially. I definitely think there'll be more talent there than I think, even Taru, if Taru's still on the board. Like, yeah, I'd much rather keep six than give it up.
1, 2, and 3 would be the dream, Ash, wouldn't it? Jesus, imagine that and the melts that would create.
Right, so say we get 14 for Baker, right? We're going to have either 1, 6, 10, 14, 18, or 1, 6, 10, 11, 14, and then 20, 23, 24. If 10 and 11 doesn't get it done, do you give up? Because 10 and 11 is worth basically pick two, bang on the money. Do you then give up, say, a 24, right? And then you'll have 1, 2, 6, 14, 20, 23. So you've still got six selections in the first 23.
How much
do we want that pick two or pick three?
Weren't North keen on short? Throw short in the steak knives. Everyone wins.
Mate, everyone wins.
And this is the thing, what it comes down to is how much do we value the player we could get at two versus will a player of equal kind of value be there at six?
Okay.
Like, is it that big of a jump? Like, I know that everyone's saying this draft runs pretty deep and it's pretty even, but is the difference between Foz versus, let's say, a Langford, for example, is it that big of a gap between those two players that it's like, no, we have to get two?
I don't necessarily think it's imperative that we take two. I definitely think if we can get, like, it'd be nice, but I think at the same point, like, can you get too greedy? No matter what, a player at six, whether it be someone like Armstrong, Murphy Reid, Langford, if he slides, which I highly doubt, I definitely think we're going to get value out of that anyway. And you never know. Herald Sun put out their rankings and suggested that Foss could slip until seven, which is fanciful thinking, as I don't think he gets past pick three if Carlton get it. But again, there's definitely going to be some decent people there at six.
Now, I agree with CJR here. It's just annoying that other clubs have picks. Just remove all other clubs. Let us get free reign for the first 10 and let's be done with it. Okay. To address this one, TRN, the Dusty stuff's not happening. I don't know who or what anyone would still be running with it for. Clearly not happening. He said he's happily retired at the best and fairest. It was never happening. Won't happen. He might do some mentorship there. Maybe.
What's going on? What have I missed?
Someone was still suggesting that there's still cap room for Gold Coast to get dusted. They might have all the money in the world, but he's cooked. He's not playing. It's done. It's done. That that ship has sailed.
All right. I have a question. So before pick swaps with other clubs, right? So before the possibility of pick two or pick three, what draft hand do you think we will end up with before we make the moves? 1, 6, what do you think we've got?
Before we trade?
I think we'll get 1, 6, 10, 14, 18. I think we'll accept the 10 and 18, and I think we'll get 14 for Baker.
I agree. As much as I would love to get 11, I think we respect Bolton enough to not jeopardise it. I'd be dirty on it a little bit, but I agree. I think they're the numbers we'll get.
Right, so that would leave us with 1, 6, 10, 14, 18, 20, 23, 24, correct?
And just to clarify before we go on, just to answer JD's question, 14's coming from, from Cal Twomey saying that West Coast are going to acquire pick 14, however they have to do it with Carlton, and then that'll be on-traded to us for Baker. That's where 14 comes into play.
Although, would we trade one of those picks in the 20s with Bolton if we can guarantee that they'll give us 11? Instead of 18.
Yes.
So Bolton and 24 for
that's 10 it. Of the I'm in, yes.
I agree. It's just whether or not West Coast will do it, which sucks. Yeah.
I would definitely include the pick in the 20s to get the 11 instead of the 18 for sure. So I don't know what you're getting at, TR, and this is the last we'll address it. Dustin Martin is not playing for Gold Coast next year. Not playing. And Sean Grigg didn't desert us. He went to Geelong first and then went to Gold Coast. It's a bit of a fanciful argument. He's not playing there.
That Grigg thing is bullshit. If you know anything about the Richmond Football Club and the culture for players transitioning into coaches, they're actively encouraged to go to outside clubs to learn and grow. Like
That's not just a Richmond thing either. That's all clubs do that because there's no point knowing your own way and that's it. Exactly. You've got to learn other stuff.
100%.
That's why Koch did his thing at Brisbane.
Yep, Nui at Hawthorne.
Yeah. 1, 3, 6. I wouldn't mind that. 1, 3, 6, 11, 20.
But where's 18 in that? If we're getting 11. Oh, he's got pick 3, so he's used us.
So we've traded. Yeah, we've traded on. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the trades play out. Like I said, I just think we need to get the Rioli one done tomorrow. I just don't want to have all this backlogged up for the last day because it's just going to be an absolute nightmare. Like, I think you need one or two of these to drop to be able to unlock other things. And because everyone's kind of chasing, especially for the pick 2 and 3, for example, we're not going to be the only club chasing those picks. So West Coast and Kangaroos are going to have to be entertaining phone calls from God knows how many other clubs. You don't want that to all try to happen on the one day, I wouldn't have thought, if you're one of the clubs trying to get it. So hopefully we can get something done tomorrow. But, yeah, sounds like 6 and 23 is hopefully in the books for Rioli, which I think is a good outcome.
Jones
racing.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, we'll take him. That would be the dream. That would be very good. Now, will there be much work on getting future? Like, I don't know what next year's draft crop is like. Obviously, this year's draft is quite hyped up. But will there be much in the way of moving other picks to try and get future first? Because that's typically what happens on draft night, I suppose, is the live trading of picks is club scrambling to get into this year's first round and giving you future first round stuff?
Realistically, I don't think we'll do much looking at future picks. Obviously, we know where our list is at. And looking at it, we're likely to get pick one again, which, I mean, that's really all you need. If we take 7 picks this year and we take 2 or 3 next year, that's 10 picks in 2 years. That's literally like, 30% of a whole list refreshed in 2 years. Like, I don't think we necessarily need to go for more picks. I think if it goes to that, we'll look at players next year to trade out or who may want out as well.
This is a good question, CJ. And I have heard, I haven't paid attention last year because we weren't doing too much, but is the last part of the trade stuff on TV, is it?
It's on Fox.
From what, like, as on Wednesday, from what time? Do you know what time?
I wouldn't guess to know for the last.
Jeez, it's all about the theatrics. We've got the bloody trade on. We've got people faxing things across and stuff like that. People running down the hallway with bits of paper, waving them.
Yeah,
there's a couple of real late
lined
ones.
Up to go on the lined up to go into the little room.
Yeah, yeah.
God. Yeah, I'm not sure what time.
What's that? Seven,
okay. Damien said 3 p.m. on you. Yeah, 7 p.m. At 7:30, it finishes. You'd think they'd run for more than the last half hour.
Don't they have a heap lodged and then they just announce them all afterwards or something? Isn't that what they did once?
David says 7 p.m., but RFC Centre says Fox cover it from 4 p.m.
Who's covering it?
AFL website covers it from 4 p.m. independently as well. RFC Centre.
Then someone said AFL from 2 p.m.
Jesus. Well, we'll be glued to that then. My goodness. Hopefully we get some stuff done early, though. My God. I think that's it for... What's happening about the pub?
Yeah, I'm away for work Wednesday, Thursday night. I'll be in Warrnambool. I'll be at the Whalers at Warrnambool. So I'll be at the pub.
Is there anything else we haven't covered for... I think that's all we're involved in that we know of at this stage. A few people have asked, though, do we think there's anything going on with us approaching established players to try and bring in a fraction more experience, which is a valid question. I suppose we threw our hat in the ring for, I'm going to say, was it Peatling? That didn't come to light. I think it was Adelaide he chose, at the end of it.
Yeah.
So that was one we missed out on, but we were in talks there. The one name that was thrown around to me, not as someone who knew that we were doing it, but more asking the question, there's two names. Caleb Daniel was one. Would or should we ask the question if he is exploring options? And the second one, actually, answer that one first, and I'll ask the second one afterwards. Caleb Daniel, what do you think?
We've already got Jaden Short.
Yeah.
So we're not keen on that one. What about now? If Geelong, now hear me out. It's one of these ones. Now hear me out.
I hear Geelong, and I'm out.
No. We're going to stitch him up. If Geelong decide to be smart asses and walk Bailey Smith to the preseason draft,
yes,
cashed. We are cashed up to our eyeballs. We can do it. We've got the money. That is not an issue. We can have a free hit at Bailey Smith and just pay him whatever it is and say thanks for that, fellas. Would we be open to doing that?
I'd do it.
I'd do it with one of the picks. You know, because he'd go in the national draft. Do in one of the picks just before Geelong have their pick, just rub it in.
But
we were linked to Finn McRae. That's not because McRae at Collingwood isn't happy that he's not getting game time. He was promised he'd get more game time from flying. That hasn't happened. From what I'm hearing, we're more likely to bring in some more experienced players next year. This year we're heavily investing in the draft. Now that we've got all the picks, and then next year, just before Tassie, because I think Tassie are 2026 draft, I think, or even next year, something. That's where we're looking at bringing experienced players in once it starts getting to the point where the draft's going to get compromised.
Yeah. There's been a couple of people in the side wanting to address the Graham compo. It's actually pretty simple. It's 4 years, not five, and it was under 600 a year, so it was only ever going to be banned for. Yes, it's frustrating, but we just got to deal with it and move on.
Was it 4 years, was it, in the end?
Sorry?
Yeah.
Was it four in the end? I thought it was five. Yeah.
No, four years. If it was 5 years, we would have got banned three.
Yeah. If anyone was surprised that we got that compo after 2 days after the paperwork being lodged, and you've had Andrew Mackey come out and say that the compensation picks have been generous. You've had Damien Barrett and Kane Corns on Trade Radio whinging about compensation picks. Graham was never getting a pick in the 20s. Was never going to happen.
I think it was joked about afterwards that if you're doing free agency compo, you're better off being one of the first one or two done whichever year before the outcry happens. And they're like, oh, we better fix this.
Yeah.
I don't think there's... I think you have to have... The only ruling that I know of they're sentimental is I think you have to take a minimum of 3 players in the national draft.
Yeah, it's three player changes. That can include rookie upgrades. So you can take players and upgrade one rookie. Yeah, you just have to have three players.
Changes. I mean, we're going to have close to 10.
7 or 8.
How many people are retiring and maybe not getting a contract.
Yeah.
Yes, who knows? Okay, so we'll probably see, you reckon, some more experienced players next year. I think it's a valid question for even this year, but it just sounds like the draft is so strong that we want to get these talented kids in. I just hope it doesn't hurt them in their first year of footy at the club.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a look at it, we've already lost 3 in Grimes, Dusty, Pickett. You're losing another 3 with the trades in Baker, Rioli, Bolton. You've lost Gray, and that's already 7 changes there.
Yeah.
Plus that's a lot of games of experience, isn't it? That's well over 1,000 games.
Yeah, plus the delistings. And Naismith. Naismith retired. He was a rookie, wasn't he? Yeah, he was a rookie, so that's sort of another here or there. But, yeah, and so we're looking at maybe 10 with a couple of upgrades. I think Jacob Light gets upgraded. I think Bauer gets upgraded.
Yeah, well, I reckon we're creeping closer to 10. Now, Jay Tiger, interesting question about the salary cap. And I think this is where some opposition club supporters maybe haven't factored this part in. But when talking about getting picks 10 and 11 from Fremantle, and I know it was 6 and 13 originally from Gold Coast, it's not just for the player. For me, anyway, when I'm talking about that, I'm of the assumption that we're paying a large chunk of both those players' salary because we've got no one else to pay the money to, and you have to hit 95% or whatever it is. So we can't just dish out the money to a bunch of new players, and that's going to just stuff our salary cap up for the future. So I always just felt like that by us paying chunks of their salary whilst being at another club is what then generates the highest second pick to go with the trade.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether we'll ever hear officially if we're doing that. I'm sure it has to come out in the wash at some point in time.
Soldo thought.
Soldo. I mean... I'm almost a no out of principle just because of what his sister did.
Yeah, that's the only thing to mark is it'd be a bit awkward now, but if it's for one of those later picks, I wouldn't be against it.
Well, let's think of it, I suppose, logically. We've lost Naismith. We've obviously got Nankers Ruck EJ. We've got Samson Ryan on a longish deal as our backup ruckman if he's playing. And if he's not playing, then we're looking at a mixture of Bolter, Miller. I don't know who else might do it. So there's possibly actually room to get him to replace what Naismith was doing.
Oh, let's hope for a snack pack debut.
Yeah.
Is he still too raw though?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It can't be worse than
the debut.
Oh, no, it cannot be worse, no.
No. Be like, just compete, just bash and crash. Doesn't matter about stats, just hurt people. Like, why not?
Yeah. I got no dramas with it. I don't know what you're talking about with your sister. So,
she came out and what'd she say after he made his debut for Port Adelaide, and there was post game roaming Brian. Yeah, she's like, oh, how do you like that, Richmond? And she was like giving us a bit of lip service from off the side of the camera. It's like, oh, okay. So who's our backup? Like, yeah, are we short a backup ruck though?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, but you can pluck him out from the VFL like we showed with Naismith.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't spend anything on a ruck.
And I know that Nank obviously got through the year pretty well, but he's usually due for a suspension or an injury at some point.
Yeah.
I'm
the Grant Thomas of the Big Footy Tiger Cast. I don't think you need Ruckman.
Well, I mean, when you watch grand finals, it almost starts to prove that as well. Like when it comes to the hotter games, like a mate of mine, he's always adamant that Ruckman could almost be extinct. Like they're not as precious as they once were.
I mean, you only have to look at the grand final this year when McInerney went off. Not the grand final, but even that, Brisbane didn't, like Darcy Fort, who's a D-grade player, had the better of Brodie Grundy on grand final day, who was probably the best ruckman this year. like, just goes to show, like, rucks aren't the be all and end all.
No, you just got to be competitive. You've got to be physically competitive and and take your position and take your marks down the line and get and drop back in defence. That's what you've got to be able to do. Yeah, look, if you've got a good one, fantastic, and hold on to them, but don't overpay for a ruckman.
Don't sell the farm. And we didn't, we didn't, so that was good.
I mean, you have a look at us. We won 3 flags with probably a B-grade ruckman. Nank, for his faults, he's a competitive beast, but he's not a great ruckman. He's great around the ground in his follow-up work, but in terms of ruck work, he's gotten better at it over the past couple of years. But
the rule changes have helped him.
Yeah.
Because there's less jumping. The rule changes have helped him because it's just a wrestle.
Yeah. He's actually he's a very strong man. Last couple of questions we'll take from Mark. Do we think we'll see a captaincy change? We spoke about this briefly last week. I think the only sort of candidates putting their hand up, if we were to see one, feel like Taranto and or Broad.
Taranto, Boston, Broad would be the three.
I don't know if we'll see it, though. Like, there was always whispers about Nank sort of using that as a bit of a bait or lure to try and keep Baker with the captaincy. I'm not sure how much truth there is to that and if he is looking to relinquish it. But it's an interesting phase because with all these young kids coming through, I feel like this is something we have to really nail. And maybe Nank is brilliant behind closed doors with motivating, educating and helping the young players through. And if he is, then he stays.
Andrew Adam, make Layla captain. <Just come stadium. laughs>
I'll allow it.
I like it.
Yeah, pick one, also captain. I think it's out of those three. And personally, I think we do need a change, especially on field and off. I think Nank, just from a leader's perspective, I think some of the things that he does on field for a leader isn't exactly great. And if we're trying to refresh the club, getting a whole bunch of youth in and trying to get the culture right again, I definitely think it needs to be someone who doesn't make the mistakes that Nank does.
As David said, Nank's already personally met the potential draftees, which is really, really good. Now, the last question, before we do the last question, for those who are on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. We are, last I looked, we were at 960 subscribers, so we were 40 short of the 1,000. Would be awesome to hit 1,000 subs by the end of the year. It's free to do, helps us out massively. So if you're on the Big Footy Tigercast YouTube, make sure you hit subscribe. The last question, and it was raised on, I think, Trade Radio, and I think we spoke about it briefly, but obviously when you announce your number one pick, there's like a $20,000, you know, prize money for them. I'm not sure if their local club gets anything or not. Obviously the prestige around being the number one draftee.
Yeah, I saw something about this. I'm pretty sure they've changed it now. It's $10,000 for pick one and $5,000. Second pick two also gets $5,000.
Oh, okay. So is there anything that separates one and two? Because I suppose the ultimate question being, are we better off not bidding on Ashcroft and giving our genuine number one pick the love and limelight that usually comes with it or any other rewards and accolades? I think there's part of the handshake agreement we're not going to bid on Ashcroft anyway. But if that wasn't in play, is it worth, just for their esteem and whatnot, to say, no, we're backing you as the number one pick. We're going to take you first and let someone else bid on Ashcroft.
Yeah, we're going to put all the pressure on your shoulders.
True. Yeah, that's the only thing. Like, I can see the reasons for and against it. Like, pick one, obviously, if you let Ashcroft take it, you're sheltering potentially Laylor from being that pick number one with all the hype and the scrutiny around it and everything. But at the same time, it's also we value you above everyone else. It's sort of that loyalty in a way. Just pick number one. Take it. Like, don't bid.
And if Lawler gets neck tats 1 year in, look out, we're in for 2 years.
He needs to get the fake transfer tattoos for draft night just in case. just whack him on beforehand.
Get the henna tattoos.
Oh, that'd be very good. All right, I think that is a wrap for tonight. Also we'll be back on Monday to see what eventually unfolded with the draft night. And Monday coming as well, the 21st, Cameron Hicks will be joining us as well to give us the lowdown on the draft picks and who we might take where, because that's his specialty. So at least we'll at least we'll know fully then, bar live trading, what picks we have.
Have we decided if we're going to do like night one streaming?
Because
it's a Wednesday for night one.
Oh, yeah, we probably will. Because I would usually do other streaming, but I'm happy to do big footy streaming for the sake of it being draft night. So maybe there's a cheeky live show on draft night where we can all celebrate who we pick together.
We're going to have 100 picks. It should be a bit of fun.
Yeah, I know. Compared to last year, we waited to night two and didn't even see it on the screen. What an anticlimactic night that was. So we'll do that. A live call of the Doozy Parade. Doozy Parade, I like that. So we'll do that on Wednesday. So, Monday night will be show as normal with Cameron to talk about the draft picks. We'll do like a phantom draft. He'll give us the sliders, the bolters, all that kind of stuff based on his notes. And then we'll do Wednesday night as well whenever the draft is. What night's the draft?
It's Wednesday.
Is it November?
It's November. I think it's the 20th, I think.
All right. So we'll make sure we put that down somewhere too. And Tiggs is going well. So basically with Tiggs, he is pretty much said that this end of season / going into off season couldn't come quick enough for him because he was just like, he didn't even watch the grand final. Like he's really sort of struggling to watch and do all those types of things. So for him, it's about his recovery and getting himself right. He really wants to get himself set and back to normal functionality for next year. And I say that for just in terms of his normal life and for the show as well. So he's keen to come back. Whenever he's fit and healthy and ready to. He knows the doors. He gets the link every night as well we're on, so if he ever feels like jumping on, he's always more than welcome. But, he will most likely not come back on till next year just while he focuses on getting himself right first and foremost, which we understand. But and I've always said to him, if he's got any tidbits he wants us to share, whether it's his thoughts on something or doesn't have to be mail, it can be his thoughts on anything, we're happy to read it out for him. So, We'll see him when we see him, but make sure you show him some love on Twitter and stuff as well if you see him post. So, and TRN, I did see your post and I already answered the question that Nank was using it as a bargaining tool to try and get him to stay, and he chose to go. So that's why he wasn't captain. But anyway,
he's persistent.
I know. Clearly not a Richmond supporter trying to troll me, but that's okay. Thank you for a good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Again, make sure you hit that subscribe button on the YouTube. We want to hit 1,000 subscribers. It will be massive. No, it wasn't fake. Give it up.
Yeah. Like, just on that, as Tiggs has said before, just because the mail at the doesn't mean the mail at the time was wrong when it turns out that it didn't end up that way. I heard the same thing that Nank was bargaining for Baker using the captaincy, and a lot of people will say that they wanted Baker as captain if Nank handed it over. But unfortunately, I think the lure of McGualter being at West Coast has been pulled and Baker wants to go home. I think that's all that needs to be said. Just because it doesn't turn out that way doesn't mean it was wrong at the time.
Both things can be correct. Agree. All right, that is a wrap. We'll be back Monday night and we will finally know what the hell transpired for trade week. So fingers crossed we get some stuff done tomorrow. I assume I will see all of you on Twitter at some stage arguing with each other, arguing with other teams. It'll be on for young and old. It'll be good fun. But thank you, EJ and Grock, for joining tonight. Much appreciated. And we will see you on Monday night with Cameron for, what will hopefully be our draft haul.
We're going to see Cameron next Monday night.
No, we're not seeing him. He's going to be faceless. Yeah. Like Kenny from South Park, you can put a big hoodie on and just have a small gap. So have a good night, guys.
He needs to just come on, but have a Blair mask on. like when your kid goes to school and you do the little face mask, the cutout face mask. Blair Hartley mask on.
No, forget Blair. Francis Jackson.
It was the Casino Jackson. Francis Jackson. Jesus, that would be a doozy.
All right.
Have a good night, everybody. I'll see you all on Monday night. Catch you later.